ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमात्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिकामाधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रतितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हाउ टू सक्सीड इन एनीथिंग, that is the topic I propose to speak on now. This talk isn't going to be a short one. I may make it fairly short, within an hour or so, but if so, then it'll have to go on for another day or maybe 2 days, because we can't expect to learn how to succeed in anything very quickly. Maybe you could learn how to flip a coin. If you don't know how to flip a coin, you could learn. And then if you have to learn how to catch it also, it may not take very long. But anything that's really worthwhile takes time. Rome wasn't built in a day. It's quicker to do, it could be destroyed more quickly than it was built up. Developing, maintaining, and destruction. Three phases. Now you may wonder why I'm going to speak on this when there seem to be dozens of people out there speaking about how to be a success, personality development, public speaking, and all these life improvement, life coaching, and so on. So why am I speaking? What have I got to add to this? Well, I'll get back to what I've got to add to this. But I received an email from a person I don't know personally, I never heard of before, by the name Luke, asking me to speak on topics of the qualifications of a Vaishnava writer or any other topic related to literary services. So I'd been going through The Nectar of Instruction, a work which was composed some 500 years ago, but based on knowledge and wisdom going back much further than that. So I thought to speak on that, particularly because in the third verse lists 6 points, and then it says, Prasiddhyati, which Srila Prabhupada, the translator, whose version I read, translates this as complete success. So these are 6 points for how one can achieve complete success in bhakti, in pure devotional service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. But these 6 points can be applied in any field if one wants to be completely successful. The points are enthusiasm, determination, patience, acting according to a prescribed way, giving up other things. That's a broad translation of it. And how does Srila Prabhupada translate sato vritti, the last word of that? He translates following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the path of persons in the past, can also be translated as leading a clean life. So anyway, I'll discuss this. Now, what am I bringing new to the discussion? It's ancient, about how to be a success. It's ancient wisdom, so it's nothing new. But it may be new for many people, or it may be another perspective of looking at things which are not so very new. And bringing perspectives which are not new, but may be new to the people hearing them. And that happens in every generation. Stephen Covey is famous for his guidance, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and other book, and I believe the first one of that. I haven't actually read the book, but I heard so much about it. It was a big thing in the, 1990s or something. Apparently the first of them is start with the goal in mind. So Covey didn't exactly make that up. It's what we would call granny wisdom, or the kind of thing that's passed down generation after generation, and he in different words. So I'm going to be speaking about this, how to be a complete success. It can be applied in all fields with some adjustment. I'll speak with it in four fields. The spiritual field, in which the instruction is originally there for spiritual success. Material success in general, which, as you'll find out, I'm not particularly interested in. Related to a specific task, such as here, I am sitting on the campus of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in Salem, in South India, and for the last few years has been going on a tremendous endeavor, which is expected to continue for 3 years. It's building a temple in the old stone style for the first time in hundreds of years. Such a project has been undertaken, at least in this part of the world, a granite temple. So these principles can be applied to any task. And specifically, I'm going to focus on the task of writing, because that was what I was asked to speak on. But I thought about this verse, how one can be completely successful, and these principles, enthusiasm, determination, patience, etc. These apply to writing also, and to Vaishnava writing. But then I expand it also, because it can be expanded to all spheres. It helps me also to focus on my present project. It's not automatic. It's not like being on a factory production line. Nowadays, people aren't employed so much on factory production lines. There are robots to do that. Maybe we'll get more writers. Maybe they'll have robot writers. Who knows? Ghost writing. There's this phrase, ghost writing. We have a robot writing. You never know. Some pretty clever guys out there focusing, making a success of making robots. Now, I often suspect that these people who are speaking about how to be a success, they are hot air bags. In other words, they have a bag of hot air in their chest and hot air comes out. But they are successful at teaching others how to be successful, but I wonder if they ever did anything themselves apart from telling others how to be successful. What are they successful at? They're good at telling others what to do, but what did they themselves do? What did they do significant? So now I'll toot my qualifications a little bit. because it's not good to praise yourself. Sometimes you see people praise themselves. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's easy to say, I will do this, I will do that. But we should know that man proposes and God disposes. Not everyone believes this, but it's a fact that we may have great plans for success and we may be sure that we'll be successful. But there's no guarantee we're even going to live even a second more or that our plans are going to work out. So many careers are being spoiled by the coronavirus pandemic. Or for sports people, especially those in sports like, well, I can think of soccer. There's the biggest professional sport in the world in terms of money thrown into it. The career span is not very long. And if you lose 2 or 3 years, the prime of your career is maybe just lost. Or maybe there won't be sports played in the way with packed stadiums for a few years. And then people who are training for the Olympics, all their hopes for success are dashed because there aren't going to be any Olympics. So we should know that we can try, but we are subject to powers greater than ourselves. So to boast, even after you have achieved something, boasting is not good. Not good. But so why am I going to speak of my qualifications to speak on this? Well, I should have something to show. I suppose the fact that I was asked to speak on this subject shows that someone thinks I know something about it. I've written a few books, written, composed, edited. I'm not sure exactly how many, about 17, I think. And anyone who's written a book knows that there may be people who just sit down and spontaneously poetry pours out of their minds, but otherwise, for writing, especially if you're going to deal with a serious subject in a serious way, as the saying goes, writing is 1% perspiration and, sorry, 1%, I blew it, didn't I? I wasn't successful in that. 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. So it's a lot of hard work. Also, you don't know until you've done it. So I've written a few books, including my opus is Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, 3 large volumes based on a lot of research. So I have something I can say I've been, it's not earth-shattering, actually it should be because of the subject matter, it should be taken much more seriously, not because of me, but because of the subject matter. I'm not a person who walks into an airport and all the heads turn and people rush up to me and take photos and push a mic in my face and say, try to take an interview. I'm not wildly successful in that, but in my own sphere, some success is there. Now, the next question is, do you really want to be a success? Really want it? Because you should know that if you want to be successful in anything, it will be your life. If you want to spend time sitting in front of a TV, going to the bar with your friends, just talking, goofing off, wasting time. Just spending time with nothing in particular, leisure time, you could say. But if you're gonna be a success in everything, you really got to focus on it. You have to decide, is this what you want to be? There's nothing wrong, per se, in being mediocre. If everyone was a success, then no one would be a success, materially speaking. Because in the material idea, you have to be higher than everyone else to be a success. There's a party, which is a political party, which has been going on for the last few years, which has been elected 3 times in a row, I believe, in Delhi and nowhere else, hardly, called the Aam Aadmi Party. Aam Aadmi means the common man. And the head of that party, who's also the chief minister of Delhi, is someone by the name Kejriwal. Arvind, I believe it is, Arvind Kejriwal. So there are so many Kejriwals in India. It's a typical Marwari name. They make fridges. There's a company that makes fridges and they're called Kejriwal. So he's not an Aam Aadmi. Aam Aadmi means a common man. But by being the head of the party, he's not a common man anymore. And that's the problem with communism. I'm getting a little off track here, but in communism, you just can't say everyone's all the same. For instance, someone has to be a lawyer, someone has to be a judge. And to be a judge, you have to study in a different way to a factory worker. It takes many years of training. You have to have the stuff up here to be able to do it. And they have to be accorded a certain level of respect, otherwise they can't do their job. He has to be accorded respect above that of the common man, and probably have to pay them more also. Otherwise, why would anyone, if you can just do some ordinary job and pass your time, and why should you study for years and years and years to become a lawyer and then a judge? So the whole idea of communism, or that everyone's equal, is flawed from the outset. So about being a success, it's easier to be mediocre in many ways. Just like I gave the example, when I go into the airport, I don't get photoed. People don't rush up. Actually, it does happen sometimes. Some devotee sees me and wants to take a photo. But at least here in India, if someone wears dark glasses, it's considered they're imitating film stars. When they go in public, like they have to, when they go in the airport, they wear dark glasses with the hope that they won't be recognized. That's what I understand. Because when you want to be famous and successful, that's one of the things, you want to become popular. But when you become popular, you don't want to be popular because it's too much trouble. Right, all people are always around you. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Mahatma Gandhi. He couldn't sleep at night because wherever he went, people would be coming, Mahatma Gandhi ki jai. They didn't think that maybe he wants to have a little rest and sleep sometime, because they just want to see him and be with him. And probably the most peaceful days of his life was when he was in the jail. As they say, a guest of His Majesty. I was living as a guest of His Majesty. It means it's an ironic way of saying he was in jail. Talking about writers, one of the most famous, iconic, seminal novelists in the English language, American, major literary figure, J.D. Salinger, after he wrote his book, The Catcher in the Rye, which was a huge commercial success and is considered one of the great novels of American literature of the 20th century. He just withdrew. He became very reclusive, didn't like to meet anyone. He wasn't seen except by his own inner circle for the rest of his life. And he was a young man. When he wrote it, so that leads us to the next question, then: why do you want to be a success? What's the point? We're just like some atoms floating in time and space. Our existence, if we take this human life, it's temporary. Just like, and even if you become the greatest person in the world, so what? What is this earth planet? It's just another atom in the universal affair. What is this big thing that you want to be a success? Why endeavor to do anything for that matter when we just have to die? Why should we do that? Well, it's a fact that we're very small and we're very insignificant. But it's also a fact that we can live our life in such a way that is beneficial for others or otherwise. Pain is an unavoidable fact of this world. We can act in a way to mitigate that pain. We can't just stop it altogether. There are ways of mitigating the pain. You could become a nurse, you could become a doctor, you could become a welfare worker, you could become a Buddha. We say the Buddha, but the Buddha's idea was to make many Buddhas. Buddha recognized this world is full of pain. So how to completely mitigate that forever? He called that nirvana, stopping of the wind, putting out the flame. So that's another approach. So that's one reason. You could think my name will go down in history. What's the point? And what kind of success do we want to be? Maybe the most successful person of the 20th century was Stalin. If we measure success in terms of power, he must have been the most successful. Well, you can say, well, Hitler was, but Hitler, his power didn't last very long. And Stalin ultimately conquered him. It wasn't the Western, well, it was a group effort, but it was the Soviet army who reached Berlin before the British and Americans and others coming the other way. But he went through his whole life without being assassinated. He assassinated millions of other people. Is that the kind of success you want to be? And you say, no, of course not. But in terms of what success is considered in the world today, you have to be a bit of a B-A-S-T-A-R-D to, not a bit of, quite a bit of. They won't teach you in these courses how you have to be, let's say, a jerk if you're going to be successful. They'll teach you things, how to win friends and influence people. Well, that's just the real idea is to influence people, not how to make friends. So you make a show of being nice to people. Or Covey's thing, win-win, rubbish. Win-win, if it's good for me and it's good for you. But in many times, what's good for me is not good for you. And we don't really care about the other person. I won't win on your side and not on the other. This is, after all, human nature. If you're trying to push yourself above others, it involves not only pushing yourself, but pushing others down. That's the human mentality. It may be possible to raise others up. This is demoniac, but this is the world. If you do a business studies course, I'm sure they won't teach you this. I don't know. I've never done a business studies course, and I hope I never do in the upcoming course of my lives. But many successful people in the world, they seem to be psychopaths. Psychopaths have got all the qualifications. They're fully focused. They know what they want to do. They're expert at manipulating, cheating, lying. They're deceitful. They're heartless. They don't care for others, but they wear a nice suit and tie, and they look very nice. If you want to be that kind of success, then, as John Lennon, who was a success in some ways himself, but a failure in others, he's a heroin addict. And what kind of success is that? To become a successful singer, but your own life is, and giving a message to, so he had so many messages for other people, such as, I don't believe in Krishna. That was one of his messages. But he was a heroin addict. So he himself, he didn't live a happy life. But one of his messages was, if you want to be like the folks on the hill, then you have to learn to smile as you kill. Psychopathic. The idea to be a success is driven by envy in the material sense. Someone's better than me. How can I tolerate that? Let me show myself to be better than someone else. And people are prepared to work hard. They can put down even their own friends, their compatriots, even the people who helped to bring them up, they can put them down. They don't care for others. So, ultimately, success means spiritual success, as the Lord Jesus Christ is quoted as saying, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? In the Vedic language, parabhavas, tavada bodha jata yavanna jignyasata atma tattvam, that whatever else one may do, all one's efforts are defeated if one fails to inquire into the nature of the self, the nature of reality. So real success. These six principles I'm going to outline, they can be used in any sphere. You can use it to become a big jerk also. But it doesn't matter it doesn't necessarily mean if you're a big jerk that you're going to be successful. You may or may not. Fate is also very powerful. But it is sure that if you misuse your life and you act wrongly with others, that by fate, by the laws of karma, you will have to suffer for that. Whether you succeed by trying to cheat others and exploit them, whether you succeed in doing so or not, if you succeed, you'll enjoy a little bit of illusory happiness for some time. But then you have to suffer for that, because the laws of karma are an infallible, inviolable justice. We may not see the results immediately, but what goes around comes around. Like dominoes, if you make a domino, stand up dominoes in a circle, then it goes, you press the first one, and then they all comes around and comes around. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. One of the most famous scientific axioms. It's not proved, it's not provable, but it's accepted as an axiom. So it's true in the cosmic sense also. You may think I'm getting off the topic a bit. Yeah, that's true. How to be a success. But then we should see, we don't want to turn out a bunch of people who are expert in cheating and lying and exploiting others. The whole idea of being a success in that sense is demonic. Here in India, there's so much push. Be a success, be a success. You've got to be a success. But the whole idea of success is how to get ahead and get a lot of money. You might be doing something. Being a success, generally sort of being a success is being a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant. Or if you can't make it up that high, then you become an engineer, which is also pretty good. And that's all contributing to society, so-called. But the real aim is success is measured in terms of money. If you have to bring in lots of money, then you're a success. But again, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own soul? Our own Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, he was a huge success. He went from India with 40 rupees of non-convertible currency, which means no money for all intents and purposes, and within a short time had made a movement all over the world with properties, and he became a famous figure. But when he was asked, what's the point of everything that you are doing? He was asked to summarize this by Thomas Hopkins, professor. Srila Prabhupada replied, we simply want to see that people are happy. That's all. And then why did he work so hard? And what was his contribution? Disney cartoons, they're also meant to make people happy. What's the difference between Prabhupada and Disney cartoons? What's the difference between Tom and Jerry? Or Srila Prabhupada had something substantial to give. He worked so hard because he wanted to give that which is actually actual success to everyone. You may succeed or you may not succeed in your endeavor, but in this Krishna consciousness, there's no such thing as total failure. Neha bikrama nasho, I'm quoting here from Bhagavad Gita, neha bikrama nasho sti pratyavayana vidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Anyone who takes up this line of dharma, minimally, who does even a little dharma, specifically Krishna consciousness, it can save them from the greatest danger. And this was asked, we'll find a little later in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, who's asking the questions and Krishna's giving the answers, Arjuna asked Krishna, well, what happens to someone who takes up this path of yoga in all seriousness but doesn't succeed? And Krishna tells him, nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata gacchati. Partanai vehanamutra. What's the next line? Vinasham vinashas tasya vidyate. Same thing. As there's no pratya nehabekramanashasi. The nash, you're not finished. You're not condemned. Don't worry. Anything you do in this line, Krishna consciousness, it's so good that you're never a total failure. And Krishna goes on to explain how you can take it up in another life. So there's no real failure in Krishna consciousness. Even if we take from the material point of view, what does it mean to be a success? Well, early in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ashantasya kutasukam. If one is not peaceful at heart, then there's no question of him being happy. So even if you become a mega millionaire, but we're not peaceful at heart, as many rich people, they don't have peace of mind, then what's the point? If we're not happy, even materially, actually there's no real peace unless one knows who he is, Atma Tattvam. So it is success. We all have the capacity to give pain to others. We should not give pain to others. Anudvega karam vakya. By one's words or one's activities. Prani matra udvega nadeva. We should not give distress to any living being. And we all have the capacity to alleviate the distress of others. So success can be understood in terms of, in that way, and minimally at this way. Of course, I'm supposed to be talking about writing, but then I'm talking about my writing and my specific writing, or that of a one who's trying to write in the service of Krishna. The idea is not to become a famous writer, as Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter. We are not trying to make literary masterpieces. We're just trying to inform people that there's a blazing fire of material existence and how to escape from that. So quiet, blazing fire of material existence. It wasn't that when Srila Prabhupada says there's a blazing fire of material existence, it's not some new idea. Buddha said it, Krishna said it, and even if someone is not connected with the Vedic tradition, he can see it. The whole book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament is about the seeming pointlessness of life. Henry Thoreau, of the American philosopher, transcendentalist of the 19th century, said that the majority of people today, if we think of the 19th century, we think, oh, it's very nice, very peaceful compared to today. Most people today live lives of quiet desperation. True today also, people. Some people are smiling as they kill you, and others are smiling as their life is crushed out by being part of a civilization which gives them no spiritual nourishment. So I'm saying this based, what I have to say is based on this nectar of instruction, the Sanskrit title, it's Sanskrit work, Upadesha Amrita. So Upadesha means instruction, and Amrita means nectar. It's a simple translation. It's only 11 verses. How much can you know in 11 verses? Obviously, it summarizes many, many points. The author, Srila Rupa Goswami, has elaborated on those points elsewhere, particularly in his book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has also given a summary study of, called The Nectar of Devotion. So only 11 verses, which gives the essence. And one of them says, by these six processes, you can achieve complete success. Then in another verse, he gives the essence of all advice, because it's Upadeshamrita. So what's the essence of all advice? Now, in a general sphere, if we talk about what Rupa Goswami says, it will not be understandable. Ultimately, Rupa Goswami points to residence in Radha Kund, in a spiritual body. And most people in the world, actually even most Vaishnavas, have no idea what that, and even we ourselves at the beginning stages of devotional service, we really have no idea of that. Some idea we can get by hearing about it, but it's a very, very, it's the ultimate goal of the spiritual practices, which are established in other works by Rupa Goswami himself, his brother, and other compatriots, establish that the highest spiritual goal is to be a pure devotee of Krishna. And where does that ultimately lead to? Maybe not for everyone, because he mentions also there's Vaikuntha. He doesn't mention Ayodhya, but that's also he doesn't mention Dwarka. There's Mathura, there's Vrindavan, there's Govardhan. Can go a little higher, Radha Kund. That's the ultimate. So it may be that everyone's not going to Radha Kund. It's a very, very high goal. But the point I'm making here for the more general audience is that he starts off, Rupa Goswami, in the first verse by talking about controlling one's speech, controlling one's mind. These are very basic spiritual principles and not easy to follow. Rupa Goswami didn't invent it. this Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, this verse, largely the same verse, appears in Mahabharata. So the idea is that even if we haven't come to the point yet, we're still trying to control our mind and senses, but there's hope. We can go all the way up there. So again, Kavi, start with the end in mind. We're trying to control the mind and senses. Whew, it's a lot of difficult. But where are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to get out of it? What's the point of all this? What kind of success am I trying for? Ultimately, the topmost spiritual success, which is not even imaginable. If we had to explain to a general audience, even here in India, what to speak of going, for instance, to Mongolia or some other remote and wild place like New York City. It's pretty wild at the moment, right? Actually, it's very peaceful because of the pandemic lockdown and everything. But it's a pretty wild kind of place, and I guess New Yorkers like that, the zeitgeist or the ambience of New York City. It's wacko. And you go there and you try and explain that to someone that actually there's Radha Kund, and there is a place in India called Radha Kund, but you have to see it ultimately with spiritual eyes. One has to become completely purified. And then what do you do there? When you achieve the ultimate spiritual perfection, you can aspire to have the body of a little girl, and you'll comb someone else's hair. Really? Ultimate spiritual perfection. Not very easy to explain. Who is that someone else? That is also very difficult to understand. But Rupa Goswami gives the idea, it is possible. You can do it. You should do it. Why not do it? So, I didn't get very far on the writing thing. But anyway, it's all related. If you have to write, how are you going to do it? Actually, when you start to write, say if you write a book or an essay or anything, my repeated experience is that it's always much more work and much more difficult and takes much more time than you think it would before you started. Right? You wrote a book, you know. You think, oh, I'll write a book. Won't take me long. Easy. I know everything about it. And then you get into it. And at one point you were researching about Praman Tattva, how epistemology. In English it's called epistemology. And then at some point you stopped because you can spend your whole life. And you won't come to the end of it. Actually, all philosophy, all knowledge is based on epistemology. So you have to get your epistemology right, but you could spend your whole life and still not get it right and not come to the end of the topic. It should seem fairly simple. We accept Shabda Praman, the revealed knowledge, because our senses are imperfect, our intelligence is imperfect. It's fairly simple. If you say the simple, if you say the basic principles, but then if you get into it, you find it's whatever topic you get into, it's much more deep. And that's the job of a good writer. One thing is to get into the intricacies of a subject. I'm talking about serious non-fiction here. I have no experience in writing fiction. Is to get into a subject and present it for the benefit of others. And another job may be to summarize it all also. So there are different factors, but to summarize it, you have to know the subject very well. Rupa Goswami wrote the Nectar of Devotion, an elaborate book. And we can say the summary is the Nectar of Instruction. So he wrote both. And then How elaborate do you want to get? And then there's no end. The Goswami literature is huge. The six Goswamis. Which books did, who wrote that we have? Rupa Goswami, many famous works. I mentioned two of them. Sanatana Goswami. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita itself is a tremendous literary contribution. We could say that's a novel, so to speak. Jiva Goswami, huge amount of, who could do what Jiva Goswami did in really more than the others, Nana, Shastra, Vichara, Naika, Nipuno, Sadharma, Samstapako, more than others. He went very, at least in the volume he produced, he went very deeply into the scriptures, examined them very carefully. He started off his works with epistemology, Tattva Sandarbha, and he made a huge amount of work in his productions. Sanatana Goswami also, along with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, should be the Hari Bhakti Vilas, for the practical procedures for how we live as Gauriya Vaishnavas. Then Raghunath Das Goswami, not famous for writing very much, but what he wrote is, well, what's the topmost book then? Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, if we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is there any further to go? Little bit. Vilap Kusumanjali. Raghunath Das. What did Gopal Bhatta write? Any books? He's not famous for writing anything. Shatkriya Sarathi, because that is there. But actually, he gave all the material for Hari Bhakti Vilas and for the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami sorted it out, edited it, but actually Gopal Bhatta did a huge amount of work, but he's kept himself in the background. Raghunath Bhatta, we don't have. He recited the Bhagavatam. So they were all writers, and if you're going to imagine Jiva Goswami, if you're going to imagine what work he undertook to explain to Jiva Goswami, even he had Gopal Bhatta Goswami's notes to sort that out. Even someone told me they have 300 pages of a transcript of a Prabhupada disciple giving his memories. Can you have someone edit it? It's not editing, you have to write it, you have to rewrite it. You don't know what it would be. Huge job. But the end result was something valuable for human society. Loka anam hitaka nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sadharma samstapako loka anam hitakarina. They did it for the welfare of others. So if you're going to be a writer, then we should write for helping others, for the benefit of others. I mean, say, who am I to do for the benefit of others? But we have some knowledge and we should try to share that. We can do so by distributing the books Srila Prabhupada has written, but he also wanted his disciples to write other books. And the knowledge he gave, even though it was huge, it can be expanded on unlimitedly, and there can be other works which help to expand the themes, give some practical advice. I made that Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness. The whole world of Vaishnava culture is in Sanskrit and indigenous Indian languages. So that bringing that to the world, there's so much to do, so much work. So there is a lot of work to do for Vaishnava writers, but it's work, that we should know for sure. And how much work, we won't realize until we start, but still it should be done as a matter of duty. And if we're thinking, I'll be a success, I'll be famous, forget it, don't do it. Just chant Hare Krishna until you get more purified. You can distribute Prabhupada's books, read his books. The idea, I will be a success, is not for a Vaishnava. Even though these six processes lead to complete success, the idea is that our success as a Vaishnava is to become the most humble servant of the Vaishnavas. So it's a very different outlook. So I still have to come really to the point of exactly about writing. But what I'm saying is applicable to writing, it's applicable to building a temple, it's applicable to making one's life as a human being successful. It's applicable in all fields. So how to succeed in anything. But we should also try to understand what is that thing which brings everything to success, and without which everything else is a failure. Parabhavastavadabodhajatayavannajigyasataatmatattvam. Unless one inquires into the nature of the self, then everything else he does is just a complete waste of time. And inquire, and one should also get answers. The answers are there in books. A Vaishnava writer may write more books to amplify those subjects or to apply them in certain fields, and so on. Hare Krishna. Yeah, there'll be probably two more sessions, I estimate now, but you never know, because it always comes to more. There's always more to say. But at the same time, we just don't want to talk, and do something also. So let's finish there. To the accompaniment of sound in the background. What's that, stone cutting, is it going? Stone cutting going on. The unpleasant sound of stone cutting, which is very pleasant, because we know that the stones are being cut for Krishna's temple. Otherwise, intrinsically, it's not a pleasant sound. When the baby is crying, it's not a pleasant sound. But for the mother, she's pleased to have the opportunity to serve her child. If the child goes unconscious, she's afraid, oh, maybe the baby is going to die. And then when she hears the baby crying, very pleasant sound. So the pleasant sound of the stone cutting in the background. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha. Kripa sindubhyavacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Hare Krishna.